Well, what a convergence of readings. First, of course, we get the conversion of St. Paul, and at least a recounting of it. And, you know, St. Paul and St. Francis, they have many things in common. They certainly didn't start off as Christians, really. But, of course, they come through various paths, slightly different paths. They come to know Christ, actually through Christ's own revelation to them. In the case of St. Paul, we see that the risen Jesus comes and speaks to him. In the case of St. Francis, in the Church of St. Damiano, we have the crucified Christ speaking to Francis from the cross, which of course gives rise to those Franciscan crosses that we still see today. But these people were obviously specially picked by God and were given this special revelation because God could foresee what they were going to do for the church. Now, of course, St. Francis, like Paul, you know, he was kind of interested in a life that really, in this particular case, instead of being related to Judaism, St. Francis was very, very much related instead to wanting to be a soldier, wanting to pursue the life of wealth, and did enjoy being raised in a wealthy family. But God kept calling him. And in this case, the insistent call to St. Francis was the poor, those who were in special need. He just couldn't overlook these people. This is how God, as it were, got to him. And of course, God, of course, got to St. Paul in a different way. The revelation, of course, that comes to him, you know, in the risen Jesus, but also when he's in Arabia, as he describes it, you know, and obviously some kind of a special contemplative experience that occurs to him before. He says he's taught by God, literally, in this contemplative experience. We see the same thing with Francis, that slowly but surely God keeps calling him, you know, through the freedom of his own will, to respond to the needs of these people. And finally, of course, after he has received this kind of real grace of the cross of St. Damiano, he gets that grace from Jesus on the cross, and there's one final test. And of course, this leper, who's very, very repulsive indeed, is kind of, following him. And of course, he kisses that leper. And of course, upon doing so, the leper is gone. He turns his back, gets on his horse, and he looks back, and the leper is gone, and he realizes that it was Jesus kind of in this final call to him to come and serve the poor. Many people, of course, say that St. Francis said, above all, preach the gospel, occasionally using words. But St. Francis never did say that. In fact, St. Francis used a lot of words. And he did preach the gospel very, very incessantly, insistently, and of course, even, you know, tried to convert two Muslim sultans and a variety of others in his attempt, to bring the Christian church to the furthest lengths he could. So yes, St. Francis, initiating this brand new energy around the poor, this energy of compassion to those who were in special need. He also was very much not just a Caritas guy, he was a Veritate guy. He was a truth guy. He was Caritas in Veritate par excellence. And of course, he brought the word and combined this mission of evangelization, this mission of teaching, this mission to the poor, this mission through service to especially the poorest of the poor. And of course, the life of simplicity, he brings us all together through this charism which he has. And of course, the charism is incredibly important, because it's not just the stigmata, the visible sign of Christ's crucifixion on Francis's body, but everybody knows he's an extraordinarily holy person who has, you know, this communion with Christ and communion with the Father, the Creator God, this communion with God through nature, this communion with God through the Eucharist. They come around him, and they're instantly kind of addicted to him, because he just has that holiness, he has that goodness, he has that palpable communion with God that, of course, not only attracts people to him, but wants, you know, to motivates them to join his company. And that's how he personally is able to make this little order. It starts off almost, you know, as almost nothing, and then of course it just keeps growing and growing and growing because of that, you know, personal communion with God, that, you know, that closeness to God that just attracts people and gets them kind of hooked on him, just like St. Ignatius of Loyola and St. Paul. People just get attracted to that holiness. And of course, once that's the case, Francis has infused everything together. He's infused, of course, the spiritual life, the close connection to God. He's infused that with, of course, the love of the cross and the love of the Eucharist through Jesus' cross. He loves the crucified Christ and identifies with him so much that Christ gives him with the stigmata. And then on top of all of that, he has, through the Spirit, the charism to work with all those in special need and the poor, and of course to work to evangelize the world to its furthest extent. And the melding of all of this, the spirituality, the evangelization, the work with the poor, the simplicity of life, right, the love of the crucified Christ in the Eucharist, the combination is just so perfect that this Franciscan order just starts blossoming. It just starts growing so rapidly that it becomes one of the very most powerful forces of the church, almost next to the papacy, for centuries, because of course, you know, it did what it was supposed to do. It was supposed to serve in compassion and truth all those who are in special need. And of course, right there we see, you know, for St. Francis, that, you know, we see, excuse me, why Pope Francis has chosen the name of St. Francis. He just so perfectly embodied that mission, and that mission which Christ gave us personally, the mission which knew that he is present in everyone, especially the most needy and the most poor. It was the ethos of St. Francis. Amen.